You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And today we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Gail Johnson, the corporate relocation specialist and concierge director of Restaino and Associates. Gail, how are you doing today?
Hi, welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, James, to talk with you today. So
yeah, let's start with
conversation.
Right. This is going to be fun because I've known you for, oh my gosh, a long time. And you've been doing this for a long time.
Well, I've been in Madison for 17 years. So I moved here from the northeast corner of Iowa and got to know a lot of people.
Do nice.
This job and others, yeah.
Very cool. So what is a corporate relocation specialist?
So my role at Restaino & Associates is for over the last 30 years, they've added a value program, and it's the relocation division. And ultimately what we do is we take off the plate, will I like living in Madison? And we do that by offering no fee, so it's added value. And so there's a team of the three dedicated professionals with over 30 years of experience.
Wow.
And we ultimately will email, learn a little bit about their criteria, what are their interests, their needs, have they ever been here before? We'll set up a tour. We will introduce them to schools and faculty and provide information if schools are important for their family. If they have a significant other that is moving here and doesn't have a job, then we will take their resume and work with them and put them into our network. Making introductions, I would say that's one of the fun things that kind of evolved here about the last 5 years. Network that I've built, being able to connect people that are looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, on our team, Mickey will help people find rental. And so she's very well connected into the rental market, whether that's a rental home or an apartment, fit to their criteria. And then if they want to purchase a home, then we match them, introduce them to a Restaino realtor that's most knowledgeable in the type of home that they're looking for, whether that's a condo, lakefront property, they want to be downtown, they want to live rural. So it's an awesome, fulfilling position that gives you the opportunity to impact people in the most difficult time when, one, they're starting a new job,
mm-hmm.
they're moving to a new city, and there's a lot of steps to the transition that we help them through and help them settle in to call Madison home.
That's interesting. So it sounds like you're essentially covering two major areas. One, for employers, or they're trying to get talent, and it's essentially your job to convince them that Madison is a cool place. Which I'd
right.
say Madison's a pretty cool place.
Well,
and then the people that have already decided, you're trying to help them find the home and then just get the things laid out that have to be laid out when you move. That's
right. And especially, you know, there's multiple levels of it. So even when they're candidates and they're maybe entertaining two different towns, what does Madison have to offer? Not just for a job perspective, but what do they have where I'm going to live, raise my family, and perhaps retire?
Sure. So you're talking about restaurants, food, entertainment, parks, stuff for the kids to do, schools, all that jazz.
Right. And so depending on, you know, the different age group that they are, if they're coming in, they may want to know about the craft beers and the downtown scene. And mm-hmm. Some may want to know about the Overture Center and the farmers markets and the different grocery stores that we offer and the green spaces that we have. Madison has been recognized over the years for being the food city, the walkable area, the biking friendly, the place ranked for the fittest city. Mm-hmm. So we try to provide all those different accolades to them and then point out all the different state parks and biking trails and so forth to introduce them that they may not know we have ever been here before.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you the question that is always looming over my head when you talk about what you do. How do you convince people in January to move here?
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a good question. So one, you know, really, we don't try to persuade or convince. So our, our role really is, you know, we're in the Midwest and we're four seasons and there's plenty to do in four seasons. So in January, if you want to snowshoe, which I enjoy, there's snowshoeing, there's downhill skiing, there's ice fishing, there's, you know, the outdoors, you can go visit. The Oprah Gardens has the planetarium inside. And then hopefully as things keep opening up, there's the Overture Center and so many places that you can go and be, dining, theater, the arts, children's museum for kids, the trampoline parks.
Right.
So there is all, you know, there's things to do here in four seasons where in some areas where you're at, you don't get the luxury of having fall, spring, summer, and winter.
Very true. That's an interesting way to look at it. I keep thinking, man, I want to move south or just somewhere warmer. But, you know, it's interesting. I was running this morning and I saw the sunrise, which is magnificent. I'm like, we got some pretty cool sunrises here that, I mean, other places have beautiful sunrises, but I don't know, in Wisconsin, maybe it's just because of that diversity in the seasons that every day is different and super cool, or most of the time is super cool.
Right. And those are things, I mean, when people have an idea what Madison has to offer, when we start talking about the biking trails that we have, Devil's Lake, the state parks, the, you know, walking trails, the the unique coffee shops that are around every corner. There is a lot of splash parks, playgrounds. You know, there's so much more than they realize. We use Destination Madison quite often. So Madison does a great job with constantly filling it up with here's things to do, single family couples. And so we try to just provide all those links and videos and websites to people so they get a good feel about what we have.
Gotcha. Interesting. So are the individuals coming to you, or is it the companies that are trying to hire these individuals? Or who more or less reaches out to you and says, hey, Gail, take these people around?
Right. So my role is to reach out to HR, recruiters, companies that are hiring talent, whether that's in the healthcare, biotech, I could be mortgage lenders with first-time home buyers. It could be sitting at a networking event and the librarian next to me says, hey, I want to purchase a home. Can you help me find a realtor that could find a home for me? It could be my neighbors down the street saying, hey, my son's looking or we're going to sell. So it really can be any transition of a home sale, whether you're selling or buying. But ultimately, it can be someone that's a candidate exploring a move here. It could be someone that already accepted a position and now they're relocating in their family. And so we take a look at everyone that's coming here. So not just the candidate that's going to be in this job, but how does the significant other and their children, you know, so they might be interested in sports and clubs and someone else might be interested in their church or volunteering. And so we try to help everyone in the family unit. Unlike when I was younger back, you know, in the day, I mean, it was where you would just learn, we're moving.
Right.
And you're going. But, you know, now with, you know, it's a family unit. And so, you know, the kids come and sometimes our focus is even just trying to help the kids, whatever age they are, and trying to see them living here because you want the whole family happy.
Right. Yeah, that's way easier said than done. It's funny you talk about back in the day with moving. We were fairly nomadic when I was a kid, every 5 years or something like that. Just jobs change, businesses change with my parents and all this kind of stuff. And it was interesting how just all of a sudden one day you're like, that's, we're moving to this town, new town, and hope you like it. Hope you like your neighbors. Try to just explore and figure it out. Sometimes it was small towns, sometimes it was bigger cities, and you just figure it out. It's tough. It's challenging because you had no idea where to start. And that was pre-internet. So there were, you didn't even know where to look.
Right. And even just walking into a new school, depending on what age you are, and even just trying to find a school.
Yeah.
You know, so many times people, it could be a deciding factor for people. So if they're coming here and they have a special needs child, they want to know everything about what we have for resources.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a school and their kids have been taking classes in biotech, or they're really into a language or the arts or music, they want to know about these schools. Now, sometimes we'll get a dad that's really into football and they want to know about the football team. So, sure. I mean, that's where we customize it to everyone. What is important to you? What are your interests and needs? And how can we make those connections?
Very cool. Very cool. So let's downshift a little into what you have going on. How did you end up in this position?
So Ron Rostano, when we moved here, we sold newspapers in the northeast corner of Iowa, moved here, and I used to sell advertising over at Rostano and Associates, a newspaper print.
Oh, wow.
And I remember Ron Rostano saying to me, you'd be a good realtor. And I'm like, I don't even know this area. I don't know the first thing about real estate. But over the years, he had purchased ads. I was in newspaper and magazine and then television, and got to know different people at the real estate office. And I liked what they were about. But one day the position came open and I interviewed for it. And 11 years later, I'm enjoying the ride. So,
wow.
Yeah.
11 years.
11 years.
That is impressive. That's extremely impressive because we're hiring. And I'm seeing resumes where people are putting jobs down that they've been at for less than a week. So
it's
I love seeing people that have been at jobs for a long time, because there's just, they get the groove. There's a loyalty there. And presumably they like what they do. So that's super awesome.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, the thing that aligns with me is, you know, when you're picking a career that you want, you know, first know what your beliefs and your values are and what do you really enjoy. And I really liked when he said you're out in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked how I could impact people, because I had relocated here and I would have loved to have had people directing me on schools, where to live. I would have loved to have known what all the city had to offer, because I had to unpack that by myself. And it was many trips here, you know, visiting and coming back. And so I like the fact that I get to work with people. I'm a person that likes to work with people. I'm curious about people and their stories or experiences. How did they get to where they are today?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with this job, as I hear people are like, hi, they just hired a new, for instance, a director, and she's moving in from wherever state she is. I then become the FBI agent trying to find them. And so then I'm emailing and figuring out, and then I tell them what I do. And the response back is like, oh my goodness, you have just taken so much stress off of me.
Right.
Because we don't know the first thing, where to even begin. And that just feels so good. And then you really help them through every step of the way and to settling in. We even have a settling in program, so that they can get to know the community, you know, because they're in there working. And if you're here, we want you to know, hey, there's farmer's market, there's art on the square, there's concerts on the square, there's, you know, so we're constantly like, oh, you told us when you moved here, you love hockey, the Badgers are starting to play. And so we fill them in on, here's what's going on. And they're like, thank you, we're still unpacking boxes and we want to get out.
Honey, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I got to say, I've met a lot of real estate agents, but I've never come across a company doing essentially what Rostano is doing in this regard. So is this a new thing, or is this specific to you guys? Or I guess just tell me about that, because I've never met anyone that is really doing this whole corporate relocation thing.
Right. Well, I don't think, you know, it takes a commitment. And I will say Ron has really supported this division to make it happen, because like he allows me to attend the Greater Madison Chamber, the Downtown Madison, you know, the different chamber of commerces and invests quite a bit for me to be networked.
Mm-hmm.
Within that network, you know, the GMA SHRM and the, I mean, there's so many, as you well know, places, the network in Madison. And to be able to build that network of trusted partners, and you do that by helping them, which they want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have someone that comes in with a need, I have this great network to reach out to. And that doesn't come on your own. That comes through the support of our broker.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the training that goes on and the family that's built within our organization. I mean, we're there to support one another.
Mm-hmm.
So also I'm the concierge director. And what that means is, you know, over the years, we would have someone like, I need a VA loan or I need a physician's loan or who do you recommend for a mover? And I'm like, I don't know, who do we recommend? So in this network, again, you know, I reach out between our realtors and the network, like we have built up probably 77 different categories of who are our painters, who are our movers, who are our renters.
Wow.
Yeah, who can power wash someone's house, who could put on a screen porch, who can go do mold remediation, I mean, who's an electrician, and we can provide all that.
Very cool.
And so there, and especially for people that relocate in, they don't have a network.
No.
So when they come here, like, who could clean my house, or who could paint these walls, you know, who can make our touches into this house, and you become this trusted voice for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been fun to compile this list of our professional certified licensed professional providers in the Dane County area that ultimately have the last touch a lot of times to our clients.
That's super cool. That it's interesting you say that because that sounds like after the sale is done of them buying a house or whatever, they get settled, you guys may still be on their speed dial in case they need someone.
Absolutely. I mean, we're there to not only if they relocate in, to be there so that they get acclimated into the community, and or should they need a service provider, they absolutely, we stay in contact with them. Like if you need someone, here's where you can go and look. And there are times when somebody might be settled into a place and their family hasn't come here yet.
Oh.
They might say to you, look, I'm struggling because I'm alone. Or I don't, or their families, let's say in another state, and they're coming in and they're like, he will not know what for us to do. Can you help us come up with what we should do when we come in this weekend?
Nice.
So it's fun to be on those kind of communications because it's like, okay, you're coming in here when? Here's what's all going on. You just load it up you know, and then they're happy.
That's the name of the game. That's super. I want to shift. You had a great segue here about the network because I know you have a huge network and I guess I didn't realize that you weren't from this area.
No.
So you came in here and I imagine there weren't a lot of people from Northeast Iowa hanging around.
No.
So you did a more or less build your network from scratch. Yeah. So for most business owners or to-be business owners, having a network is an incredible thing. So can you tell us how you built yours from scratch?
Sure, I will. And I will tell you, a long time ago, I remember when I was coming here, someone said to me, Gail, the people here, I'm originally from Chicago, the Chicagoland area, and then moved to Iowa. And people that are here are no different than people in Madison. And all you have to do, and I know this sounds like Dale Carnegie, and I have taken the Dale Carnegie class, but you just have to generally be interested in people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about me. It's, you know, learn about them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm a very curious person anyway. So I like to know people's stories. I like to know their experiences and I have a great follow through. So I may meet you, but I'm going to follow up with you and I'm going to touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, LinkedIn right now for today, anyone listening, if you're not using the LinkedIn tool, that tool has been phenomenal. I didn't have that when I first started, but not only can you meet somebody and then reconnect with them on LinkedIn, but you can stay in touch with them and you can see what they're posting about and you can comment on it and like it and share it and maybe even engage in it. Or maybe they know someone that you see in their connections that you'd like to know. And if you get to know them, you could say, hey, would you be interested in making an introduction for me? So I think, you know, in getting involved too, when I first came here, I got involved in nonprofits.
Okay.
I wanted to give back. And so even, you know, today, my mission is this is the community that serves us. We also want to give back. Our company does give back in a lot of ways. But myself personally, I like to be involved to help other people in what they're trying to do and impacting other people's lives. And so I think if you just put yourself out there a little bit, ABC, always be connecting.
Mm.
Yes. And always, you know, not about you. Even when you meet somebody, learn about them and don't regurgitate everything about yourself. Because honestly, we don't want to hear it all right then, right?
Right.
When you first meet. Mm-hmm. But you do want to hear who they are and what brought them here, what motivates them. And then just see where you have a connection. And then work off of that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I had to learn how to network just trial by fire, because I guess I'm the same as you, or I'm just really interested in people. And I would go to a networking event and not really have a sales pitch. I just want to meet people. It's fun. It's so much fun. And then eventually you find the financial planners and stuff like that that are trying to sell you life insurance at the moment. Like,
right.
I was just kind of cool knowing your story.
And you know, the other thing too is I've learned over time is have your business card on you.
Totally.
Because you never know. Like I was at a flower shop just the other day,
mm-hmm.
and someone was talking about, oh, I'm looking for someone that can this or that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not that I'm overhearing your conversation. But I knew somebody that did exactly what they were looking for.
Nice.
So we exchanged cards. One time I was in Home Depot and a lady stood there and she said, could you help me pick out carpet? I'm not very good at this. And I'm like, I'm not very good at it either, but you know, I'll give you my opinion. And then later I'm like, well, what are you buying carpet for? She said, well, eventually I'm kind of sprucing up my house because I'm going to sell it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in real estate. Exactly. So, I mean, and thank goodness they had a card on me because she wouldn't have had a card on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to give her my card, but I did ask for her contact information just to make sure that I could definitely connect with her.
Right.
But it's what you do after you're at networking. I would think that really counts. It's going to networking events and knowing why you're there. And maybe looking ahead of time to see who's going there, who do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the follow-up. It's reaching back out to them, and it takes time. Follow back up, go on LinkedIn, learn a little bit more about them. I found myself during COVID, it taking the time, I may have a connection with this person, and I know them about business, and I do a lot of work and transactional things with them,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know their family story. I don't even know them, what they're interested in. So I really took time this year during COVID to do 2 or 3 a week. All this is I just want to have coffee over Zoom and get to know just who you are.
Oh, that's cool.
And I can't tell you how much I learned about people and their story.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it's to me, that was a game changer.
That's cool. You know, it's interesting you say that, because I was going through LinkedIn. What was I looking for? I forget what I was looking for, but I'm like, I got a huge network. Someone's got to be able to know someone or something, whatever it was. Something to do with commercial property, whatever it was. I was just going through the list and I'm like, I haven't talked to this person in 3 years. I haven't talked to this person in a couple of years, whatever it was. And so that just rabbit hole evolved into me just sending emails like, hey, how's it going? Haven't talked to you in a while, just checking to see. And it was interesting how many people had switched jobs or had started a new something or other. One guy I found started a whole new business that was a 180 shift from what he was doing before. It was cool.
Yeah.
And it would never, like, it didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah.
Without trying to pursue my network to even explore what do they have going on.
Right. And those things that you do in that moment mean so much to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I learned over the years that I would recommend is, you know, it's not always easy, but I literally, and I don't do it, I write a card to someone every day.
Wow, really?
Every day. I actually paint, and then I take the little painting and I make them into cards, so I have tons of cards.
Wow, that's impressive.
If I don't get it done every day, I make sure by the end of the week, I mail a card. But I do it genuinely because I try to reach out and email or mail the card with a handwritten note. Because one, we don't do that very often. And when you get one, I know I love receiving them.
Totally, yes.
And I try to make it, you know, what resonated with me when we were in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, it's just another way of showing that you care.
Right. Yeah, that is impressive. It's interesting you say that because when I moved my office this past weekend, I came across a stack of thank you cards and just whatever. And man, I was trying to purge, but I could not get myself to get rid of those things.
Good for you.
I felt so cheesy, like we're moving a lot of stuff. Like we need to get rid of some stuff, but I could not get myself to do that. I like them hung up by my desk. It was cool. It's just a reminder about why you're doing what you're doing.
Yep. And I'm glad you kept them because there are times that I regret that I didn't. There's one that sticks out to me. So when I was at the newspaper office, I wasn't there very long and the post office was close to my office. And so I, in the morning, sometimes when I would do whatever I was doing, I would just zip over to the post office. We had a box there. I'd get either the mail or whatever, and I'd drop off whatever I was doing. And this one lady, I saw her on the way there. Nothing of it, knowing me, because I think this was more of my mother. I was just like, good morning, you know, like little Miss Bubble, right? I probably had my coffee, whatever. And, you know, whatever I said, and then went back to the office when I was working. And later that day, I came back to the office. It actually was the next day. And there was this receptionist at our front desk said, this lady dropped this note off for you and she thinks that you work here. And when she handed me the note, I read it and I'm like, oh, that was totally you. And I'm like, okay. So I read this little note and it said, how joyful you were just to say hello and share your smile with me when she was having a hard time, whatever happened. And that meant so much to her.
Wow.
And I wish I would have saved that because that small gesture made an impression to her to even write a note and try to find me and leave it at the office.
That's cool.
And that to me is, I think that's one of the things that sparked me to think a little note goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, interesting because that speaks volumes about you, but it also speaks volumes about the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like that when somebody smiles and says hello, that we're like, whoa. That's right. Cool. That's very cool.
How
do you find the time to handwrite a note every single day? That's cool.
I don't do it every day. So I tried. I mean, there for a long time, I did like, that's how I ended my day.
Oh, very cool.
At the office. My last thing I tried to do was stop. Close everything up. What am I going to be doing tomorrow? And then who today do I want to write a note to? And I said, I keep a lot of cards in my office. So sometimes I don't, and I don't like that I don't. I think it's just something that I like to do. Although I will come up to people and they're like, hey, I know you write notes. I heard you write notes. And I don't think I ever got a note from you.
Oh, no. I'm not a
stamp. You got to be careful about that. Right. Yeah. So, but it's a good way. You know, I had someone give me this book a long time ago, and it was The Miracle Morning.
All right.
And it is, it's a life changer.
Wow.
And this book gives you, and you don't have to do everything in it, but this book kind of gives you recommendations on how to begin your day. But then I ended up in time doing how to begin my day, but then also how to end my day.
Mm.
So I call it the bookend. And it's like starting your day with, you sleep for 7 hours, but you don't drink water. So wake up in the morning and drink some water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe do some meditation or write, what are you thankful for? So I do my day of, what am I thankful for? And end my day with, what gratitude of my day. So it's kind of the bookend. And then the book kind of just gives you a little bit of a routine that becomes habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good feel start that I really miss it if something busts it up and, you know, I don't get to do some of the things that I really look forward to in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I recently read the book Atomic Habits. It was a book that American Family Dream Bank had as a book club, but I didn't get to do the book club with them virtually, but I read the book. And that's creating your environment. So if you're on a diet, then have things like apples in front of you, or have things that you are like water, then have water all around or lemons all around. So right. It's creating your environment in line with the habits you want to create.
Oh, that's clever.
Instead, so those are two good books to go back to back with.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to have to add those. I know I've heard of Atomic Habits before, and I've read The Power of Habit, which is a very good book. I recommend that to anybody. But yeah,
say more.
Well, that's cool.
Say more on that book.
On the Power of Habit was interesting because it's essentially talking about how we will either consciously or unconsciously create rituals or create habits. And it's essentially pointing out that you have a habit. If you consciously decide, your life will go a certain direction. If you don't consciously decide, your life will probably go a different direction. But either way, we're just habitual beings, so we'll get in a routine. And it's essentially pointing out the fact that you can decide to make a habit, to turn it into a ritual, rather than it just kind of accidentally happening. So which is interesting with you talking about the morning stuff and the before you walk away from work kind of thing, that you have the bookends, that's very, I guess I hear stuff like that from a lot of successful people, that they have a very, I'll call it organized habit, that they know this is kind of triggering their mind to like, we're turning it on and now we're turning it off. And
right.
I think it really helps people.
Yeah. Oh, it totally. It's a game changer, I think. And you know, when you say turning it on and turning it off, that just kind of segues my mind into learning to turn on, like for me with work pre-COVID, it was leaving your home usually like 7:30 to get to networking,
mm-hmm.
and then your daily activities. And then maybe there's a lunch client meeting or a lunch meeting, or then your daily, and then after work, there was networking. Mm-hmm. And then you'd come home, and then later before I'd go to bed, I would be checking my email to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then there's the nonprofits you're involved with and you're answering things. And I think I did that for many, many years. And it was really learning. I lost time in the calendar for myself.
Oh, fair. Totally fair.
And so I think one of the things of wisdom that people say, if you had to change something, what would you do? I say, watch your calendar and know that no is a complete sentence.
Oh my goodness gracious. I could talk for hours on that. That's a little section in my book about the power of no and how it's easy for someone to ask you to do something, right? Do you want to be on this board? You're right. It takes them nothing to ask you. But if you say yes, you just committed hours, if not months or years of your life.
Yeah.
And I remember I was presenting to this group, and this woman is like, I can't say no. If my boss or, you know, if somebody asks me a question, I can't say no. I'm like, you got to say no more than you say yes. So that when you say yes, you can actually be there and be present.
Right.
It was an interesting conversation. She's like, whoa, mind blown.
Yes. You know, it was funny. I met with somebody, they were a coach, and we were going over like, who do you know? Who do I know? And we were sharing leads. And then we kind of closed it out. And we were going to have a drink afterwards. And I said to them, You know, if I sent you my calendar and I block off not who it is or what it is, but these are nonprofit hours, these are work hours, these are networking hours, you know, this is what my life looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably about 3-4 years ago.
All right.
And come back with some recommendation on how do I get this a little under control? Self-infliction, right?
Yeah. Well,
to what you're saying, he came back with, do you know how many things you're involved in volunteering? Off the charts. He's like, you're like almost 17 hours a week.
Oh.
Yeah, at that time. Now, I think he looked like a little bit networking was in there too when we were breaking it down, like what? But to your point, you know, really align, what do you really want to make an impact on? Mm-hmm. What do you really want to be involved in at that time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many things that I wanted to do and be a part of. And I have no regrets about it. It's just that at the time, I lost sight of I think what happened is too, all my kids had graduated and gone on to college.
Oh, so you had some time.
And so I was like, yes, I can do that.
Look at all this time.
Yes. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, I'm not finding time to exercise, or I like to go to yoga, or I like to paint. Oh gosh, I haven't seen my friends and they're not calling me.
Right.
You know, and so my siblings were even like, gosh, we don't see you hardly, you know.
Yeah.
We're packed and I was running here and there. But anyway, getting my calendar under, you know, being able to make it manageable.
Right.
A little calmer.
That's cool. That's wonderful. We are very good at building a prison for ourselves. Extremely good. So it's interesting to realize that, because there's probably some people that have not, like they're in that same boat where you were 4 years ago and they haven't realized it. It's like, where's all the time going? But they're spinning all of those plates without maybe stepping back and saying, maybe you could get rid of a few of those.
Right. Right. And I did learn, you know, someone said to me once, you know, if you do step out of that, Gail, you're actually opening up a spot for someone else to learn and grow. And that has really made it easy for me to say, I've completed my time here.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to help someone else step into this opportunity.
Fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
It's tough because I think, well, any nonprofit would be lucky to have you. But in the end, if you are donating essentially so much of your time that you can't really, really commit to any one of them, or you're kind of spread out too thin, then it's tough to really complete what they want completed.
Yeah. Although when I was on there, I did make sure I did.
Nice.
I just didn't have time for myself.
Oh. That's...
And so then I took back and I'm like, okay. When I had given him my calendar, he's like, wow, you got to get this under control. And then when people say to me, are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Are you on? I'm like, heck no, because I don't know where you find the time.
Oh, time sucks.
I'm not on there. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Instagram. I don't do Facebook. But I do like LinkedIn.
Yeah. LinkedIn is cool.
I do.
LinkedIn is there's less battles there, so that's cool. Cool. Can you talk about more about the concierge director portion of the Racino and Associates that you do?
Sure. So, you know, over the years I had a marketing background in advertising sales. So that's pretty much, you know, what I spent a lot of time doing. And I got to know a lot of professionals through helping them writing up their advertising, their sales campaigns. And I knew who they were and what they were doing. And so through that, some of them I even reached out when I was on for the concierge, pulling together a list. But ultimately it's really the realtors are out there too, and they know who they're using, who they recommend, who does a nice job, who provides the customer service that we're seeking, who's a professional at it. Treat people like you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that list, you know, we always try to give two or three recommendations.
All right.
We compiled probably about 70, 80 different categories.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then what we also try to do, you know, we didn't during COVID, but twice a year, spring and fall, we have a networking event. And we invite the concierge with our realtors. You meet us, we meet you, and just kind of, we all get to know one another.
Oh, very cool. So it's not just a number or a company name or something like that. You can actually place a face. And it's interesting because I imagine some stuff like that, if you're talking home improvement, generally speaking stuff, that there, when you have a face or a connection, a relationship with that person, inevitably there's going to be a problem of some kind, and you can get the real answer versus getting the canned or tap dancing answer that sometimes you have to deal with remodelers and stuff like that.
Right. That's cool. For instance, we had HR director coming from Chicago. This has been a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me on a Saturday and said, their truck broke down and I don't have a window because I work on Monday. Can you help me? And I'm like, sure. So I called up, I knew who it was, called them up, and they're like, I wondered if I'd hear from you.
That's awesome.
And so I'm like, so what's going on? And she's like, we already have someone in route. We already had another truck coming. We're maybe going to bump 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. Please, I hope we can stay on your concierge. She was all worried about that. And I said, it's not the problem. It's how you react to a problem.
And totally.
You handled it.
Absolutely.
And so I called him back and told him, and he said, just got off the phone with her before you called me. And everything was smooth. So it's really nice when you do know them.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, you're able to call them and say, you know, you'll get to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they'll answer, you know.
Yeah. That's interesting because you have that relationship. And it's interesting because then you guys have some pull where you can just say, like, solve the problem. But right. That's why they're on it already.
Right. She was on it. And, you know, I think that that's the benefit of when you do get networked.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these different people that you can tap into. But then when you dive in and get to know them a little bit more and they know you, there's a lot of loyalty there.
Fair. Totally fair. Yeah. This is definitely, well, arguably any business is a relationship business. And you can just get so much more done when people know you. Or know who you are, even if it's not crazy in depth, but you're not just some random person that called them out of the blue.
Right. It was funny. During COVID, it was right at the start. I think it was March, maybe April, but I think it was March. And a co-space where you can rent office space.
Oh, yeah.
Was still open. And she said, hi, I've got these two guys in here from Iowa, and they're wanting to open up another office space here in Madison because they have a couple of clients and they want to see if they can grow it, but they cannot figure out like rental or home finding or like schools, and they're driving all around. And I was like, I'm gonna give you Gail's number and she can get you through all of that. So they called me up and I said, okay, we can meet outside on our company patio, and met with them. Long story short, not only did I help them load them up on what Madison has to offer that they took back to sell it to their owners to get to come here, they ended up opening an office. They both moved here. One's in rental. The other one, we're helping him find a home currently.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was looking for a career in the sciences field, where I contacted our recruiter, gave them the resume, those two connected, and she got a job there.
Wow.
Is that not just fulfilling or what, you know?
That's super cool.
Yeah, and then right now we're helping them, like, here's where the schools are that you're interested in and the proximity to where you were going to work. Here's the communities. And then our realtor is touring them so they can get a feel of here's what these homes are and the proximity to your work and proximity to your school.
Nice, man, you're a little angel for them.
Yeah, so that was fun.
That's cool. That's super cool. Yeah. What, I guess, what is your favorite part of doing what you do?
You know, so many things are fun. I mean, you know, I'm in this one networking group where one lady relocated in, she was a top executive, and I introduced her to this women's executive group. And about 3 years ago, she was the president of the organization. And
wow.
And yeah. And so she's like, and how I found out about this group was meeting Gail, who relocated me in. And that feels good. Like, you see how they prospered here,
mm-hmm.
because you can help them find their way.
Mm-hmm.
Another experience was, I remember about 5 years ago, Jamie Fuller, he's the owner of Chick-fil-A, was moving here. And we helped him. And he's like, can you help me meet people? Like, we really want to get engaged in the nonprofit world. What do you recommend? And so I would meet with him and go like, here's this, here's that. And it just kind of helped him fast track getting to know people. Now he's on the Salvation Army, I think. And he's involved in all these different places, and I see him there. And it's just neat to know that at the beginning, when he was here,
mm-hmm.
he got to help them, you know, guide them through it. They don't have to try to figure it out on their own.
Yeah, it's probably fast tracking to getting stuff done rather than just them piecemealing stuff or apprehensively looking, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So what is your favorite thing about Madison?
For me, with the Four Seasons, outdoors.
Outdoor space.
I love trails, walking, snowshoeing, biking. So I really, and I love the farmers markets. I like the coffee shops. I enjoy all of that.
That's cool. Man, there's no shortage. What's that?
How about you?
Oh, wow. State Street is always cool. I really liked Madison when we first came here. We've been here 21 years. And I liked that there were kind of touristy things you could take people that were visiting you to that were still interesting for me as a tour guide, so to speak. Like the Capitol is always cool. Ella's Deli was cool. little stuff like that. But the bike trails, we just recently got into mountain biking.
Ooh.
Like aggressive, maybe not psycho mountain biking, but fairly aggressive mountain biking. I had no idea that they had all these trails.
Yes.
And so that's super cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say the friendliness. We still have that Midwestern friendly, I guess, for the most part. So that's cool. When I first came here, I was told by a boss of mine that you will never be bored in Madison. You may go broke entertaining yourself, but like there's concerts all the time. There's comedy. I'm like, if you want to see people any day of the week, you can find a place. That was pre-pandemic, so I'm sure that'll come back. But
all of that. Mm-hmm. And you know, even as you were talking, like even the union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, the union is cool. We didn't know about the union until, I don't know, a few years ago. We always like, what is the union? It never dawned on me that it was anything but a, I don't know. I had no idea. I didn't picture a bunch of cool chairs, outdoor beer garden on the lake. That is not what I connected to the union.
Right. And see, that's why we help people. Like, we'll mail them each month, like, here's things to do mm-hmm. when this is the summer season, the fall season. It's so fun too when you talk about, here's supper club.
Yeah.
You know, when people move here, they're like, what's a supper club?
Oh, really? I don't know.
What's an old-fashioned? What's a cheese curd?
You know, that's funny. My my mother and father-in-law out of Minnesota didn't know what a cheese curd was.
Yeah.
Like out of Minnesota? You're like Wisconsin Junior or Minnesota Junior, one of the two.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. But see, that's the fun of it, because then you explain what that is, and fish fries on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so then for sure in the summer, all the activities around the Capitol.
Oh yeah, always something going on.
Right. Which our makes parents. That's what Madison has made our jobs easy.
I suppose that's true. How, I guess, in the 11 years that you were doing this, was it 11?
Yeah.
I guess, what have you seen change over the course of that decade plus?
Well, mobility this last year is going to be interesting. So, as you all know, I mean, as you recruit and do what you do, mobility has opened up during COVID, where we had people that were hired, but then they were told, but our office isn't open. So you can work from where you're at, or you could relocate in. Some were like, no, we're going to relocate in. And some were like, yeah, I think maybe I'm going to stay here and we'll see how all that goes. And then, you know, I'll relocate in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the mobility of working remotely, it's going to be interesting to see how all this unpacks.
Yeah.
To see what will the workforce look like. Will it be a hybrid of virtual and in office?
Yeah, it's tough. I would love to say that I have an answer there, but I do not. That's a tough, we just changed our office to completely virtual. I gave the crew the option to come back and nobody wanted to. And they're doing arguably better remotely than they were in the office, which I would have never guessed. So I'm like, all right, I guess we're running with this. And it's working out really well.
Right. And we do hear that. I mean, you hear during COVID, we were all in the same storm, but definitely in different boats.
Totally.
The younger people were trying to manage young kids at home, which probably is still going on. Whether that looked like daycare or school on a computer, I can't even imagine.
No.
And we had elderly parents that were in nursing homes. One was living on their own. So we had that on the other scale of helping elderly. We needed to stay safe because we were going to be around them. And everyone had, some people worked remotely and were completely by themselves. How do you engage with the workforce from remote and keep your culture and keep communication? How do you know what's going on with someone personally right now? Unless you ask.
Right. Yeah, it's keeping the culture that was the biggest, I feel it was the biggest challenge for us. Because culture is just going to happen if you don't, I mean, regardless, but if you consciously make decisions and hire people with personalities that fit together, that's much easier to do when you can interview someone in person and they can meet the crew and all that. Now we're relying on Zoom, which is, it's okay, but I don't know if it's necessarily a 100% replacement. But so far, it's going well. I can't even imagine what a large company is trying to do on a scale that's much larger than us to keep the culture going. It's got to be tough.
Right. But, you know, thank goodness for Zoom. For me, it actually opened up new opportunity. So there were some micro groups that I really wanted to be a part of. But by the time I would get there and then that would be done to get to something else or to get to this client meeting, or it was just, or that's on East Side, or this is on the West Side,
right?
This is downtown. You just couldn't get there.
Right.
But now with Zoom, I'm like, yep, I can get in on some of this conversation and meet new people that I didn't get to before.
Yeah, that's fair. When you remove that windshield time, that's probably not accomplishing as much as you could when you're face to face, even if it's digitally in front of someone. That's fair. That's a very good point.
And you know, it's funny because I work 2 days at home and then 3 days at the office. And the days I go to the office, you don't think about it, but I literally have a note in my car. So my water, my coffee, my work bag, my phone, my purse. I mean, all these things, my computer in case something goes down at work. I have this for backup or Zoom or whatever. And how much time it takes you to prepare your lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks. You know, all these things, and then I'm making trips into the car and out of the car, forget something, and I look at my sheet one more time in the car to make sure so I don't have to go back. And But then when you work from home, like I get up, I make coffee, I turn my computer on, you know, and I can get through some things, and it just seems a little more relaxed. If it's like, if it's back-to-back Zooms, I could open up my glass sliding door, step outside for like 5 seconds, just get fresh air, and then come back in. I think there's a lot to be said. I wonder if it's going to turn into a work-life mix.
Maybe.
Because I don't know if balance has ever been correct, if you can balance the two, but no. I wonder if we're just going to learn to mix them together.
That's fair. Yeah. I would think so. And it's interesting because it's not something that I would have thought that could happen. I was adamantly opposed to having people outside of the office. So I thought it's way easier to manage when they're in the same building. It's way easier to form a culture. It's way easier, I thought, to cover if any hazard comes along. Like we had multiple pipes of internet coming in. One of those goes down, we have another one. It was backups upon backups that we could always answer phones for people. And now people are separate. So if one person's internet goes down, it doesn't affect anybody else for the most part. So it's interesting how I was so against it and it's actually working better now. So
isn't that something?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It forced the hand.
Totally, totally forced the hand. Yeah, and it's a positive thing.
Yeah, and even from that, like I even thought of who are the people I still really want to stay around? Who's my core? And so I just emailed them all and I said, okay, why don't we just do our own network? I'll organize it. We'll have type of same format we used to do when we would see each other, you know. And we resumed right on through it through COVID and continuing on now. And it's actually stronger because nobody misses because no one has the drive time. I can't because I got this. I can't because I'm going to have a meeting, you know, this or I've got that. Now it's like everyone can make it.
Very cool. Well, that alone is huge. I like it.
Cool. Yeah, and what's neat is they all share their own, they share insights in their industries that I'm not thinking about, how it affects all of us.
Yeah, I have a group that I meet with every month that's like that as well. It's interesting to get other people's perspective. I got a friend in retail and then another one that's still in B2B, but just in a different realm. And it's interesting, like when I talk about my hiring pains, then I talk to the person in retail, I realize I don't have any problems. She's got problems. So it's just interesting to get that other perspective. And then they can give you their perspective or their opinion on what you have going on, different ways to grow. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Gail, before I leave you here, is there anything that you would like to leave with us or something that you wish I would have asked you?
No, I think you did a great job. I didn't really know if I covered everything you had hoped for. So.
Oh my gosh, we're just chilling here, learning about all that you have going on. It's impressive, all that you're doing for people.
Yeah, well, we enjoy it. I'm glad to have the opportunity to get to do what I do. And I love what you do because I will say calls on calls is important because when we need somebody, especially realtors, we're probably maybe the worst because when someone needs something done, we live in a world of we want it right now, and that person needs to answer their phone.
Yes. Yeah, so it's
yours
huge.
Is really important because you don't answer the phone, we go to the next one because we need a response.
Right, right. They're not in love with anybody right down the list, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
So thank you.
Well, thank you, Gail. I appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah.
Awesome. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumph and successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, please give a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, and of course, share with all the other business owners or potential entrepreneurs that you know. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Abigail Johnson, the Corporate Relocation Specialist and Concierge Director of Restaino & Associates. Gail, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, James.
How can people find you?
I guess the best would be if you look me up on LinkedIn, Gail Johnson of Restaino, or okay. They could email me, gail@restainohomes.com.
All right, and that's G-A-I-L, is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Cool. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.